mercy and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message is from that gospel reading we read a few moments ago. Especially after Jesus performs this miracle, they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Dear friends in Christ. Well, I learned something this weekend. Did you know that Jesus Christ has a Twitter account? I didn't know this. But sadly, he's only got 600,000 followers. Okay? And that's just a drop in the bucket when you compared to some of the popular celebrities out there. Apparently, Katy Perry has over 100 million followers. Justin Bieber's got just a little over 100 million also. Former President Barack Obama has just around 90 million, a very respectable showing, followers. And current President Trump is kind of lagging way behind with only 35 million followers. See, when you follow somebody on Twitter, you're actually able to keep up with their daily activities and their views on a host of varied topics, and topics of, well, varied and sometimes dubitable importance, or dubious importance, I'm sorry. Social media has actually given people unprecedented access to the lives and the thoughts of leaders from the world of politics, to famous celebrities, to leaders in popular culture. And for many of these individuals, social media gives them a beloved platform through which they actually let their voices be heard. So they seek as much attention as they can get in an effort to get more followers. Now, based on our gospel for today, if we were to read through our gospel today, it's safe to assume that Jesus would really have no interest in Twitter in his day. You see, rather than seeking the attention and the accolades of the crowds, we actually find Jesus doing just the opposite. He takes the deaf and the mute man off to the side, away from the crowd before restoring him. And then, after that miracle, what Jesus does is he tells the witnesses not to tell anybody. He says, "Don't tell anybody what I've done." To us, you know, maybe that's kind of bizarre behavior. We'd kind of want Jesus to shout it out and to spread the word about what Jesus is doing. I mean, why would he perform a miracle in private and then tell them not to tell anybody about it? But see, Jesus really isn't all that concerned about the crowds. He's concerned about the one. He's concerned about that deaf, mute man. And in the passage that's just before our passage here, a demon-possessed girl. You see, Jesus is so different from the famous people of our day. They've all got Twitter accounts, from our current president to every pop star under the sun. They want to be heard. They want to be followed. But it's kind of weird because they also don't want to be bothered. And they clamor for boundaries. I don't understand it a whole lot. See, our Lord is the one who actually sought to go away to a quiet place with his disciples, to get away from the crowds, only to find that the people had actually gone ahead of them and had beaten them to the place where they were going. Rather than turning the crowds away, though, what Jesus does is he actually has compassion on them. That wonderful Greek word, splagidzmo, his gut wrenches and turns, his whole heart, his whole being has compassion for them. And he shows the same compassion for this deaf and mute man. You see, Jesus is always concerned for the one who is hurting, for the one hurting and needy person. He's not concerned about drawing crowds. And quite often, Mark notes, our gospel writer, Mark notes that he's actually fleeing from them, going away from the crowds. And he's also the same Jesus in private that he is in public. There aren't two different personas for this messianic figure. What you see is what you get with Jesus. You see, he's just as concerned for the woman with a discharge of blood as he is for the daughter of the synagogue ruler. He's the same Jesus when he's alone with Peter, James, and John as he is when he's there standing in front of thousands who ate the loaves and the fish. And he's the same Jesus when the soldiers strike him and when criminals insult him. He's the same Jesus always and forever, no matter whether you're talking to him personally or when he's speaking publicly. And Jesus is concerned for the deaf and mute man here is also a deep-seated love and concern for you and for me. The one who actually touched the unclean, who associated with tax collectors and prostitutes and even Gentiles, is also concerned for you and for the hurts and the pains that you and I all bear. The one who looked that deaf and mute man in the eyes and touched his fingers to the man's tongue is also the one who comes to you with his mercy and his love to forgive and to restore you and me. He still comes to open the ears, to loosen the tongues, and he sets us free through the baptismal waters and through his commanding word. Jesus Christ is concerned for the one who's held in bondage to addiction. He's concerned for the one who's been broken by guilt. And through the loving and forgiving words in absolution, he still frees all of those who are held captive by their past. What a comfort this is to everyone who feels forgotten and alone. There's certainly crowds who are amazed by Jesus during his earthly ministry, but this reading from Mark reminds us that his larger concern is for each and every person. His larger concern is for each and every one of you, and each and every one, and me as well, of course, and all people. You see, that's just the sort of Lord that Jesus is. He does all things well. From obeying his parents to submitting to the law of the land, Jesus is always the dutiful servant. As a teacher, he teaches his hearers what is good, what's right, and what is true. And as king, he shows mercy to the very least and to the lowest. As our Savior, he comes to rescue those who are lost, those who are forgotten. Jesus can only do good because he's God, and God is good. God is absolutely good. God is the definition of good. Therefore, wherever he goes, he does what is good and pleasing in his heavenly Father's sight. He always submits to the Father's will, which of course we confess is a good and gracious will. At the end of his creating, God the Father actually looks back on his creation and saw that it was very good. It was good because God can only do that which is good. And after Jesus restores the Syrophoenician's daughter in the passage just before our passage today, after he restores the deaf and the mute man, the people made the obvious declaration, the obvious observation, he does all things well. I mean, let's face it, of course he does all things well. He's God, right? He does all things well. And he doesn't stop doing all things well. He absolutely doesn't. He did it right up to the end as he's crying out from the cross, "It is finished." He'd completed his work, the work of his recreation. And then looking back over what he had done, he declared that his work was complete and that it was good and that it is good. And he still keeps on doing good as he strengthens the weak, as he comforts the sorrowful, as he shows mercy to the forsaken and forgiveness to the sinner. And so what do we need? We need to be regularly reminded that Jesus does all things well. And here's the hard part. When we suffer all sorts of hardships and difficulties, our Lord is still doing all things well. When the treatments don't bring the healing that we hoped for, our Lord continues to do all things well, as he actually grants us grace to endure that suffering. When we look around the world and see violence and terror and hunger and disease, we're comforted, actually, in knowing that our Lord is continuing to do all things well. He continues to accomplish his good and gracious will as his word is proclaimed, as the saints of God serve in their daily callings. As you and I serve in our daily callings, he continues to do all things well. As the sick receive healing through doctors who are serving as God's instruments of healing. As the hungry are fed by the service of countless hands. Seeing evil in the world does not mean that Christ Jesus is not doing all things well anymore. On the contrary, in the midst of this evil will, of this evil world, he continues to break and to hinder the plans of the devil and the world as he carries out good through the Holy Ones. Through the hands and feet of his holy ones, of his saints. That's you and me, by the way. Through the hands and feet of his people. However they serve, wherever they serve. And usually without any notice, without any fanfare, and without any Twitter followers. But Jesus also does well when he's showing you and me our sins. When he shows us our sins, our own rebellion. He does all things well as you and I are called to repentance and as he forgives us all our sins for the sake of his death on the cross. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ did all things well during his earthly ministry, but he continues to do all things well as his word is proclaimed and as the church, his body, serves as his hands and his feet in service to our world. As our Lord does all things well, he continues to show care and concern for each and every person, just as he did to the deaf and mute man. He shows concern for you and for me and through us to this world. There was a song back in the 80s, a Christian song, Christian music song called I forget what the name of it, but it was called "We Are His Hands," and it goes, "We are His hands, we are His feet, people in Jesus, children of the Lord," because that's what God uses today to do His work of mercy throughout the world. He uses you and me. When we're praying for people, when we're reaching out to help somebody in need, he's using us as his hands and his feet. You see, Jesus continues to do all things well for each and every person. So may this loving kindness and concern bring comfort and peace to you as we not only endure suffering in this world, but as we bring the love of Jesus into the world in the mission that God gives to us. Jesus does all things well for each and every person through his people here on earth. May this loving kindness and concern bring love, comfort, and peace as we look forward to Jesus' final good work of bringing us to the Father in the resurrection on that last day. In His name, amen. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen and amen.